Father, we receive your help tonight. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And he that is in the world is the problem. God is not the problem. People are not the problem. People that yield and cooperate with the problem, Satan, manifest problems, but the people are not the problem. Flesh and blood is not our enemy, but our enemy is principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in heavenly places under the command of Satan. So rejoice in the fact, saith the Lord, that I defeated him, and I put him underfoot, and I've put him under your feet, and made you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. So if you will begin to rejoice in this fact, and look unto me, and walk with me, and cooperate with me, I'll bring understanding into your life that far exceeds the misunderstandings that have been fed into your life and the lives of others by the deceiver, the destroyer. And as you bring yourself to rejoice, I didn't put rejoice in my word just to make conversation, because it's in the rejoicing and in the flow of the joy of the Lord that great and wonderful and marvelous things are released from heaven through the earth to you. I will show more down these lines as you continue to seek my face and walk with me. Principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world do not have any authority over you whatsoever. If you will resist them and refuse to cooperate with them, they have been given command by me, saith the Lord, Savior, giver of life, that when you resist them in my word, they must flee. So rejoice. And again I say rejoice. For all that I did it for you. So bring forth praise and worship. Bring forth praise and worship. Bring forth praise and worship. Thank you, Lord. Open your Bibles with me tonight to 1 John. 1 been living in this little 5-chapter book for weeks and weeks now, and even months. You can read these 5 chapters in short time, but oh my, the richness of revelation in it. And so I suggest that you do that. Just add it to your Bible reading. You do read the Word of God every day, right? Let's look in chapter 4. And let's read the 8th verse. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now let's go down and look at this 16th, 17th, and 18th verses. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, or comes to maturity, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Well, how could there be? God is love. There's no fear in him. Amen. There is no fear in love, but perfected, developing, maturing love casts out fear. Because, oh, I want you to get this. Because fear hath torment. The spirit of fear is the tormentor. Amen. That statement, we haven't done what the Spirit of God is saying here through the Apostle John, the writer. We have known, but not believed the love. Let me rephrase this a minute. We have known and we have faith in the blood, or in the love. Faith in love. Perfected love casts out fear. It doesn't manage it. It gets rid of it. Now listen, because fear has torment, God, who is love, does not want torment in you, on you, or anything about you. Nagging unbelief is torment. Worry is torment. And the more you practice it, the more tormenting it becomes. Because it grows. Instead of growing in the love of God, you start growing in fear. The torment, Dave, stick your arm out there like that. This, the hook on point. Now, if I represent a tormentor, and this man has fear functioning in his life, I can torment him. Because the torment is in the fear. Now, when there's no fear there, I don't have anything connected. I can't torment a man. I don't have anything to torment him with. The torment is in the fear. It's the handle by which the spirit of fear, who is the spirit of death, it's the connector. Now, you know what this is to a believer? Tim, do that. Now here comes along the spirit of life. That's faith.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
See, it's the connector.
Amen.
Faith and fear operate in the same category, the same spiritual room. Because both of them are spiritual forces. Fear and faith are exact opposites. Amen. They're like the direction of a compass. They are exactly like, yet they are opposites. North is exactly opposite from south, yet they are exactly alike, being compass directions, or a compass bearing, a compass heading, the direct opposite in the fact that they are directions, but exactly opposite in what they do. Amen. Amen. That's the way faith and fear is. Fear is faith. Oh, fear is strong faith. Fear and all of its different manifestations are all based and founded in the fear of death. That's the master fear. All of them are connected to the fear of death. The first physical death was a murder. You can just connect all kinds of fears to that. But that's the fundamentally the basis of it. Now, hold your place there in 1 John, because you need to come right back there to that. And let's go back to the book of Hebrews and let's look in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. 14th verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same. He took part of flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That word destroy means to render completely helpless. Where the Greek word translated destroy means to paralyze, bring to naught, zero. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. All Satan has left is the threat. Now, if you'll cooperate with him, man, he'll threaten you. And he'll threaten you and just bring all kinds of wild stuff to your thinking. And there's not a way in the world he can bring any of that to pass without your help. Don't leave that fear hook sticking out there. I mean, pull that thing back in there. Now, perfected love, or let me put it like this, developing faith in the love of God will cast or flush that out.
Amen. That's right, amen.
Amen. Fear, it is not the fear that is in manifestation or when fright is active and you're actually afraid something has frightened you or for some reason or other, I mean, it's actually functioning at the time. That's not the most dangerous form of fear. Because when that's going on, you've got a chance to resist it. You don't have to fall for that. I don't care if both knees are knocking and, you know, cold sweat run out all over you and you're sweating on the brow and your mouth so dry you can't talk. You don't have to yield to it. No, you don't. You have a choice. But you have to make that decision before that time comes. You have to prepare yourself and make that decision. But let me tell you what the most dangerous fear is. That's the fear that operates all the time, and you're not even aware that it's there. And it'll shape and form your thoughts. It'll come out your mouth. You do and say things that if you just really thought about it in light of the Word of God, you never would have done or said that. That's when it's dangerous. Now, most people do their best to manage fear. And let me change that a little bit. Or manage fright. To manage apprehension. Well, like one guy, this is a true story. They were interviewing an airline pilot. This guy was almost ready to retire. He'd been flying for I don't know how long, you know, at least 20 years or so. He was ready to retire. And they were asking him about his career and all of that, and had a wonderful career and was a highly honored airline captain. And they were asking him how he got started. He said, "I got started because I was afraid to fly." And he said, I thought, well, I'm going to beat this. I'm not going to let this get me down. And he said, I started taking flying lessons to get rid of that fear of flying. And he said, they said, well, did you get rid of it? He said, no. But he said, I had so much invested in it, I couldn't quit. And he said, I just kept on. He said, it still makes me nervous. What did he do? He managed his fear. But the fear is still there. And you put somebody like that under pressure, and fear really takes over and activates, it'll either make you a coward or a killer. Dangerous way to live. The worst aviation accident in history, island of Tenerife. Two 747s ran together. Both of them had just been refueled. Whoa. Just huge amount of jet fuel. And the old airport there in Tenerife, you had to taxi on the runway for so long and then get off the runway and get on a taxiway, whatever it was. And the visibility had gone down. And the guy that was waiting for clearance to take off Somehow or another, he thought he heard the clearance or something. And anyway, he jumped his clearance, and here he's going down the runway, and all of a sudden, here's that other 747. And that 747 had to turn to make the turn off of the runway to get on the taxiway. So he's horizontal to him, and he tried to get it to fly, and it wasn't ready to fly. And his nose gear just cut that 747 in half. Just killed a whole bunch of people. Well, I mean, the cockpit recordings are there. And he shouted. Blasphemed God. The top of his voice. See, he wasn't in control of what he said. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm going to tell you something, sweetheart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. When there's spiritual pressure put on, it'll come out your mouth. He blasphemed God and shouted as loud as he could, we're all going to die. Well, of course he did. But thank God not all of them did. There was one man that I read his testimony. And he started shouting scriptures. Praise God. Big old gap in the top of that airplane. And he started shouting the word of God. And he's... This thing's on fire like you can't imagine something being on fire. And he shouted the word of God, and he said the next thing he knew, he was shoulder and head out through the hole in the top of the airplane. He shouted again, and he's all the way out through. The thing slid off, ran, jumped off the end of the wing. But now he had prepared himself. He had gone through his scriptures and so forth that morning before he ever went and got in that airplane. Now, thank you, Father. Have faith. Let's look at that again. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. Now, I want you to notice the progression here. We have known and believed or had faith in the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, how did you get there in the first place? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. That's the 15th verse. That's the way it starts. Herein is our love made perfect or developed and matured, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfected, developed love casteth out fear. Now, how do you develop love? By practicing it. We won't go all the way into that tonight. We will... while we're studying this and following along this line. But whoso keepeth his word, in him is the love of God perfected. What word was he talking about? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, your neighbor as yourself, and love the brethren even as he loved the brethren. Those are the commandments. Yeah, but now, Brother Copeland, keeping the commandments? Oh, yeah. All 10 of them? Yeah. Yeah. Look at me in that tone of voice. Well, yeah, all right. Let's go to the 13th chapter of Romans. We'll take one quick look at this. Verse 9, for this, Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, say that with me, any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So, when you're walking in love and you have faith in love, you believe that God loves you. You believe that. You know that, but you believe that. And you act on it. Hallelujah. Then there's no room for fear. Praise God. And as you act on those things, then there comes time for some fright and something comes up and all of a sudden you notice it isn't there. Or it might just, you just might just get blindsided some way or another and you just said, no, I refuse to fear. And the thing just go away. There's been times I thought, you know, I'm supposed to be afraid right now. I remember, I've told this a number of times, a lot of you may have heard it, but I'd like to hear it again, so. this is the first time I really was aware of it, and this goes back a number of years. Gloria had just begun to take flight instruction, and so we had a little single-engine Cessna, and for her to learn how to fly in. Actually, I had we owned half of it in partnership with someone. And so we just flew down to the hill country down in central and southern Texas and one Sunday afternoon. And there was something down there that we wanted to, anyway, you know, more than anything else, just somewhere to go in that little airplane. And so we got down there and it being on a Sunday afternoon, there's nobody on that little country airport. There's nobody out there. And it was time for us to leave and I got in there and I hit the starter and nothing. And I thought, how in the world could the battery be dead? Just nothing. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking back through it. I know my alternator was still running. It worked fine when we left home. Battery was high. Of course, that little airplane didn't have much instrumentation. I'm trying to think and work my way through this thing. And it just wasn't there. And there's nobody there. I gotta get this thing going. So I don't like to do this. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. I didn't want to have to prop that thing to get it started. But here we go. So I set Gloria right there in that pilot seat and I said, now listen to me. Now we gotta get this thing right the first time, you understand? She said, okay. And I wanna tell you something about Gloria Copeland. If you're hunting somebody with some fear, just forget about her. I'll tell you what. On our anniversary, 1 year, this is a different story. This is not the other story. We had our honeymoon in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So on our anniversary, we went over there. And I rented this boat and we got out across the lake. And the lake was just smooth as glass. And she and I, had both of us got born again 6 months after we got married. So here we are, brand new believers, just, you know, excited about Jesus and knew nothing. But anyway, and she's got this big straw hat on and a towel around her neck, and she's holding on to each side of this little Boston Whaler, and we're going out across the lake. And it's an outboard, you know, and the throttle on the tiller, and I've run boats like that since I was just a little boy. And, you know, the vibration in that handle got to where the hand started itching. I turned it loose to do that. I don't know. You can't count how many times over the years that you just turn it loose and do that and catch it back. I turned that handle loose, and that engine went hard over. And the front end of it swung to the left. Out she went over the side. And the back end of the boat went right over the top of where she went in the water. And I've grabbed a hold of that thing and killed it. And I'm looking for her. And it's a good little bit before she came up. Well, man, I got one foot on the gunnel rail. I'm headed in there. And she popped up out there. I said, "Are you all right?" "Yeah." So I helped her get back in the boat. And she just is calm. She said, "What happened?" I said, "I don't know." So, man, I mean, it really got to me. So I turned around and I got that thing, got the engine squared around, and I started it, put it in gear, and it died. Well, I started it again, put it in gear, and it died. So I raised the engine up. The towel she had around her neck was wrapped up in the prop. I said, "Gloria, tell me what you did when you went in the water like that." "Well," she said, "I wondered what you're doing." "But," she said, I just relaxed to get my bearings." See, if she'd have been fighting and clawing for the surface, it'd have killed her. It'd have run right over her head. Took the towel off of her neck. Now, let's go back to Kerrville, Texas. Number of years later. So I told her, I said, "Okay, switches off." "Yes, sir." "Both mags on." "Yes." And I said, "Now, don't turn those on until I tell you to." "Okay." I said, "Now, go through it. Show me what you're going to do." So we went through it a couple of times. She had it down. So I got around in front of that thing. I said, "Switch off, mags off, switch off, mags off." And I caught the propeller to position it. And when I moved it, it started. People die like that. People get maimed like that. And I just bounced back, and I immediately knew what was having the contact lead, the P lead, and that mag had come undone or was broken. So the mag was hot even though the switch was off. So I said, she said, "You're going to fly it home." I said, "Yeah, I'll fly it home." So I got over there and we took off. And I'm sitting there going through it in my mind, thinking about it. I wasn't the least bit nervous. There was no fear there. It was out here. And the devil said, "You like to got killed." I said, "Like to ain't going to get it." "Yeah, well," and he started hollering. I said, "You might as well give up. I am not afraid. You didn't do anything to me in the name of Jesus, so just shut up and get out. Amen. And you get hard, bad news. Don't cooperate with fear. You've got the upper hand. You are a believer. Fear has been given a mandate. When you resist it, it has to shut up and get out. But you better do something with your mouth, and you better practice before that time ever comes. And walk in love. The minute you violate the love commandment, fear is present. That opened the door. Repent.
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
Right now. You know what right now means? Right now. Repent quick.
Amen.
Amen. You repent and Satan has no legal authority over you. Let me tell you something. Your sin is none of the devil's business. I'm going to say it again. Your and my sin, if you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, your sin is none of the devil's business. That's between you and Jesus. And if you live in that first chapter of 1 John, just live there and live there and live there until you finally dawns on you how much He loves you and that His blood cleanses you from all sin. And when you do miss it, confess it right on the spot. Don't give it a second opportunity into your life. Slam the door on it. Amen. That's shouting ground right there. You can have some joy on that. Now, let's go over to Mark chapter 11. If we're going to talk about faith and love, believe the love, having faith in the love of God, then you're going to have to talk about faith, because faith functions exactly the same way all the time. Mark chapter 11. Yes, sir, I'll do that. Verse 12, please. When they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not. Jesus answered and said unto it. Now, I want you to look at these words. No man. You do recognize when the scripture uses the word man, it's talking about mankind. Female and male gender. It's not talking about gender. It's talking about mankind, men and women. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now, what was that? Well, Brother Copeland, he's calling things that be not as though they were. Well, that's true. But what is calling things that be not as though they were? He spoke the desired end result. Now, once he spoke that, now he just turned around and walked off. Went right straight on to Jerusalem. Never said another word to it. Once faith has been released. Now, do you remember that Jesus said, my words are not my own. It's the Father that dwells within me. He does the works. Jesus said, No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. Now that's God's job. Now that tree belongs to God. Lightning could have fixed that. Amen. Worms could have done it. Or that tree could have lived for years and years and years and years and never ever had another fig on it. That part was not any care to Jesus whatsoever. He had already done his part. He spoke the desired end results and walked away and allowed faith to work and allowed the Father to work. Amen? Can you see that? Now, and you know the story there. Verse 20, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, time has gone by here. This was on the morrow when they were come from Bethany. He was hungry. And then they went on to Jerusalem, took care of business in Jerusalem, was there all day, left and went back. When the evening would come, went out of the city, and in the morning. So 24 hours have gone by. So somewhere in that 24-hour period, the power of God withered that fig tree into absolute destruction. Just destroyed it. But they went past that tree something like 12 hours after Jesus said that, and evidently there wasn't anything changed because Peter had said something about it. Amen. Well, you notice Jesus sure never said anything about it. He didn't care. As far as he's concerned, that fig tree don't exist anymore. One way or the other, there'll never be anybody ever eat anything off that tree. They came back then, 24 hours later, and it's withered up from the roots. Now, speaking the desired end result. Now, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in love. No, Brother Coleman, he said, have faith in God. I know that's what I said. Have faith in love. Now, there needs to be a renewing of the mind here until that is so interchangeable that you can't say one without thinking the other, and you can't say the other without thinking the one. And in order to do that, you're really going to have to renew your mind where love is concerned, where the use of the word love is concerned. It ought to be so special to you that when you say love, you mean God. And when Gloria and I, I'm telling you, Gloria and I are more in love in just a few days. In fact, next week, I guess, 13th. We will have been married 54 years. Praise God. And I'm telling you, oh, Lord, I fell in love with that woman the first time I saw her. I said, that right there belongs to me. And I asked her to marry me on the first date. Let's get this thing in motion here. We walked up on her dad's porch. I said, Gloria, will you marry me? And she said, okay. And just turned around and went, left me standing out there on the front porch trying to figure out what do I do now. I hadn't planned that far, you understand? I figured this probably takes some time, as much clash as she had. Anyway. Now, stop loving your car and loving your clothes and loving chocolate fudge and all that. Love not the things of the world. He has given us all things richly to enjoy. Amen. Didn't Scripture say that? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy? And said to tell the people that were rich in this world. Be willing and ready to distribute. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. Why? Because he loves you. That's why. Amen. I enjoy my new suit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't love it. Mm-mm. I love God.
Yes.
I love His Word. And I love His people.
Amen.
And I love my family. And I love my staff. And I do dearly love to preach. Glory to God. Woo-hoo, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I used to be that way about flying. I loved it. You know why? It was my God. And I bowed my knee and I set it on the altar and I walked away from it. I said, Lord, I'm done with it. I'm not ever. We used to make stupid statements like, you know, if I was to bust my physical or something, I can't fly. I thought, how am I going to live? I can't live without flying. I was born to fly. I knew it. I knew it when I was 5 years old. Well, fellow that I worked for back there in the early days, Gloria and I hadn't been married but about, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. And his wife told Gloria, said, I'm going to tell Emmett that it's either going to be me or those airplanes. She said, you better not. She said, you know what Kenneth would say if I was to tell him that? She said, what? He'd say, well, I'll think about it right now. I got to go to the airport. And she told him that. And Emmett went to the airport. Why? That was our God. And we loved our God. And it exercised authority over us. But there came a time when I just said it before the Lord. I said, I'm done with it. I'm not having anything between you and me. And he accepted it. And I don't remember several months there. It is out of my thinking. I didn't want anything between he and I. And he called me, I liken it under what my dad used to do. The Lord called me in. It's just a time of prayer and study. Presence of God came. He said, I receive what you did. And he said, now I'm giving it back to you because I've called you to do this. It's part of your life of ministry. Well, I didn't understand then other than anything, just faster way to go somewhere, you know. But it turned out to be considerably more than that. But the point that I'm making here is, when you put Him first,
that's right,
and you begin to believe the love, instead of giving up the airplanes and thinking about how lonely you're going to be stuck to the ground all the time. No, believe the love.
Yeah.
Believe the love.
Yeah.
I mean, He's the one that gave it to me in the first place. Glory to God. Believe the love. And it'll get rid of the fear of loss. Are you following me here? You have faith in His love. You have faith in Him. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. God loves Kenneth. God loves Kenneth. God loves you. But you're not going to get anywhere if you start saying that. And you start saying it all the time. And you begin to school your faith with those words. Faith in love.
Yes.
Love would never make anybody sick. I happen to know that my mama loved me. Amen.
Amen.
I would never in a million years believe that my mother put something on me to make me sick.
Right.
You
That's
couldn't
right.
force me to believe that. Amen. Don't be talking like that about Jesus either.
Right.
I'm sanctified, but boy, I don't like that. Amen. I don't like that a bit. Mm-mm. Now, faith then is of the heart and not the head. I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You believe it in your heart and you say it in your mouth. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Can you see why when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any? You got to get in the love flow, because love's the one that told you to have faith in love.
Amen.
And God is love, and that's who you're talking about. And it's love's faith. Love put it in you because he loves you. And cast out fear, because fear has torment.
Amen.
But if you refuse to forgive, now there's torment present. And the tormentor is going to do his thing. Amen.
Amen.
So, have faith. Now, God loves me. Believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Say it again and again and again. Look at John chapter 13. Gospel of John, 13th chapter, 23rd verse. Now there was, well, let's back up here a little bit. Verse 21, Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. So now you know the scene here. This is at the Last Supper. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now he's talking about himself. Do you see what he's doing? Now I want you to get something here. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Now this man that confessed with his mouth, I'm the one Jesus loves. Jesus loves me. Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me. He's the one that was strong enough to stay with Jesus. He's the one, he really didn't care a whole lot what anybody thought about it. He's laying there in Jesus' lap. Now look at Peter. He said, ask him. Come on, ask him. Ask him who you ask him. He'll listen to you. He loves you. Well, sure he did. He's the one who kept saying he loved me.
Yeah.
He believed Jesus loved him.
Yes.
He believed it. 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 And he outlived all of them. He outlived all of the apostles, at least, you know, the ones that we knew. The ones that we know how they passed or departed. He was the one that they couldn't kill. Now, 19th chapter, 26th verse. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cephas, and Mary Magdalene, When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. But here again, you see what he said? This was so big in his mouth, it was so big, instead of saying me, that's the way he confessed that with his mouth over himself. Now, look in the 20th chapter, verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. 21st chapter, 7th verse. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. I wanted you to see the man that wrote 1 John said, We have believed the love that he has to us. He believed it. He believed it to the point where they couldn't kill him. You know why they couldn't kill him? Yeah, no fear of it. If you won't cooperate with the devil and you walking in the blessing of God and you walking in the love of God, there ain't nothing he can do with you.
Amen.
Look in the book of Exodus. I'll close with this. It's 23rd chapter of Exodus. 25th verse. You shall serve the Lord your God, who is love, and he shall bless thy bread and water, and I'll take sickness from the midst of thee. Good. I believe that. I serve the Lord my God. Now, I found out in studying the curse of the law in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 47th verse says, this curse, these curses have come on you because you serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. They didn't believe God loved them. That's the reason they said he brought us out here to kill us. He brought us out here to get our wives raped and their children killed. And God said, I heard you. I heard what you said. Well, God didn't have any choice. They said it. They had the authority to say it. They didn't believe that he cared anything about them. I just don't see how they can do that with God. Well, the same reason that in that boat, and that Jesus is asleep at the back end of the boat, and they woke him up and said, Master, don't you care that we're dying here? You're going to accuse Jesus of not caring? Now, wait a minute, hold it. Just stop right there a second. I expect everybody in this room one way or another has done that. I just don't even go there. Amen. Believing the love. Having faith developed in the love of God. I believe it in my heart and I say it with my mouth. I took that phrase out of Deuteronomy 28:47 and I placed it right over this verse here. I serve the Lord my God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, and he shall bless my bread and water, and he'll take sickness, or he has taken sickness away from the midst of me. He has taken sickness away from the midst of me. Now, wait a minute. I'm saying faith words here, and I'm believing words in my heart, but now I haven't done anything yet. Faith is coming. Faith is coming. Faith is developing, and faith is coming. Now, now I'm going to speak desired end result. I serve the Lord my God with joyfulness of heart, gladness, joyfulness of heart, for the abundance of all things. And he has taken sickness from the midst of me. And therefore, I will never be sick another day in my life hereafter forever, saith the Lord. That's my desired end result. Oh, Brother Copeland, I don't know about that. You think God can't do that?
No. Yes, he can.
Well, that's, you know, well, certainly he can do that, but what's happening? Fear? Faith in sickness? Confidence in sickness and all the other stuff that's happened in your family and all the other stuff that's been happening to you all your life. Absolutely zero development in that area. So now you know what your next project is. You're going to confess that scripture, and you're going to say, thank God he's taken sickness from the midst of me, and I serve my God with joyfulness and gladness of heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I keep his commandments because I love my neighbor as myself. And I keep the commandment of Jesus because I love the brethren even as he loves the brethren. And I walk in it and I live in it. Glory to God. And his blood cleanses me from all sin. Hallelujah. Quick to repent. Hallelujah. And I'll never be sick another day in my life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I said I'll never be sick another day in my life. I got a ways to go. But I've taken the first step by believing it in my heart and saying it with my mouth. Because my God loves me and gave himself for me in the name of Jesus, I am healed. And I resist everything he bore for me on the cross. He bore my sin in his own body on the tree, that I might be dead to sin and live under righteousness. Well, okay, then I resist sin. He bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. Okay, I'm going to resist that then. Did you know that is the suffering of the righteous? Okay, some of you look at me. Go back over there at the book of Hebrews right quick. Thank you, Lord. Help me with this one. Thank you for it, Father. Where is that? Where he suffered being tempted. Some of you scriptorians help me with that. Huh? Yeah, I was looking in the wrong place, obviously. Yeah, 218, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. He suffered being tempted. Chapter 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. That's not talking about what he suffered on the cross. No, he didn't know anything about resisting sin. Zero. Until he came into this earth, into this flesh, and he did not yield not one single time. And that's the way he learned obedience. And that is the suffering of the righteous. We don't suffer the things that he bore on the cross. He bore that so we don't have to suffer that. Hey, listen to it. This is our fellowship of his suffering. What he bore for us on the cross, we resist. And I'm telling you, there's times resisting that is tougher than actually bearing the pain itself. You just feel so bad. Your old body's hurting and aching from one end to the other, and every bone in your body's crying out, flu, 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 flu. And you say, oh, no, God, I'll never be sick of my life. Jesus. Sick people ought to get up and go to work. Sling your old cold, clammy feet out on the floor and just keep confessing. Now, look right in that mirror. Look yourself right in the face and say, listen to me, boy. Here's one thing I'm telling you that I know. I know surely he bore my griefs and carried my sorrows. He bore my sickness, disease, weakness, and pains. We did esteem him stricken and smitten of God, but he was bruised for my iniquities. Chastisement of my peace was upon him. By his stripes, I am healed. I am healed.
Yes, sir.
I am healed.
Amen.
I'm not going to cooperate with it. I'm going to cooperate with God. Because he loved me. And he loves me now.
Amen.
And I believe that love.
Amen.
I believe that love.
Amen.
Every good gift. Every perfect gift comes down from the Father. And sickness is not good. Poverty is not perfect. It's hell on earth. And we not only need to be resisting it for ourselves, we need to be doing everything we can do to break it in the lives of other people that are captured underneath that wicked, wicked, wicked thing. Stand and let's give the Lord praise here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Glory be to the Lord. Glory, glory, glory be to God. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory. Wait just a minute. I said glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. I dare you just to take hold of it and just laugh anyhow, and just laugh at the devil, laugh at disease, laugh at broke, laugh at debt. Glory to God. Just laugh. Just laugh at it. Hallelujah. Say it, I'm a believer. I am not a doubter. And I believe the love. I have faith in God's love. I have faith in the one that gave himself for me. I'm a believer. I'm strong in the Lord. And I'm strong in the power of his might. He gives me his strength.
He gives me his strength.
He's given me his word.
He's given me his word.
He's given me his name.
He's given me his,
he's given me his spirit.
He's given me his spirit.
He's given me himself.
He's given me himself.
I receive him.
I receive him.
Come into my heart, Jesus.
Take my life and do something with it.
I give you everything I have. And I receive everything you have. I'm a believer. I have faith in God.
God is love.
And he loves me. I have faith in his name.
I have faith in his blood.
I have faith in his word.
He sent his word,
and it healed me, and I receive it,
and he's taken sickness from the midst of me.
I receive it.
I'm healed.
I'm well.
I'm glad.
Full of joy,
love,
joy,
peace,
long suffering,
gentleness,
goodness,
meekness,
kindness,
faith and temperance.
Woo, I'm strong. Getting stronger every minute.
Have your way in my life, Jesus.
Well, go ahead and give him praise. Go ahead and give him praise.